Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. My buddy Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA insider and reporter, will join us in just a moment. I can get used to, in between breaks, going and getting bacon strips that my wife is making for my kids. Like, not that I don't love going to the studio, not that we don't get good studio food occasionally, but it's not just bacon strips in between breaks. Like, there is a bit of a difference here. So I am kind of enjoying this part of it. Real quick, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast with our friend Mina Kimes, bringing you a deep dive into a single story for one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, rate, and review the ESPN Daily with our friend Mina Kimes, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. All right, so Tim Bontemps is giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. So Bontemps, I was telling people, I revealed my vote in your straw poll. You did a straw poll. It's on ESPN.com right now. It's on the app. You polled 70 media members in the NBA as to who they would vote in their top five for the NBA MVP. My top five was LeBron, Giannis, Chris Paul at three, Kawhi at four, and Luka at five. Were you surprised when I sent you Chris Paul via text?
No, I think I was the other person who had him third.
Oh, nice!
On my ballot, yeah. I think that if you look at where the Thunder were projected, where the season began, and where they are now, and the success they've had in close games, and the fact that Chris has been healthier than he's been in several years, and as good as he's been in a long time, I certainly think he belongs right in that mix. And when you look at the way that, say, James Harden has tailed off the past few weeks, Luka Doncic has had some injuries, Pascal Siakam's had injuries, Kawhi is obviously not playing quite as many games. You know, to me, you know, Chris deserves to be right in the middle of that discussion. He's had just a absolutely monster year for the Thunder.
Was there anything that surprised you about the results when you went back and tallied it all up?
I was a little surprised that Harden was as far ahead in third as he was. I was not really surprised that Giannis was still way ahead of LeBron, just based off the way the season has gone. I think it was going to be hard and will be hard for Giannis to get past. But given the way that Westbrook has really taken over the Rockets over the past several weeks, I thought James would be a little lower than that. But otherwise, I thought it generally held the form. And I guess the other thing, too, is I thought there would be more support for our thinking on Chris than there was. I think he only was on a handful of ballots, and I would have thought he'd have been on more than that.
Yeah, it shows here only 10 ballots, and shame on those people for not voting for Chris Paul. Yeah, because you're right. He looks like Chris Paul again, which is the best way to describe it.
He really was. I mean, if you look at, now I don't know how many people have seen the Thunder play, but, you know, they've had those three-guard lineups all year with him, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Dennis Schroeder down late in games, and they've really destroyed teams in clutch situations. And, you know, and for as good as those other two guys have played, I mean, Chris has clearly been the guy who's driven a lot of that.
Do you believe that now teams, and granted, we have a long way to go, right? Like, granted, we have to get on the court first again. Like, there's a right. lot of things. And obviously, you and I have texted each other, so I know that you're doing well, but hope you continue to do well and stay
Likewise,
healthy and safe.
Buddy and everybody else who's out there, too.
Yeah. But, like, do you think his trade value is better now, potentially, if we do get back and potentially – you know, he may be someone that could be on the move beyond this season?
I think the thing, George, it's going to determine Chris's trade value is what happens with Giannis Antetokounmpo and his decision on whether to take a Supermax extension this summer or not, right? If Giannis goes off the board, all of a sudden, all the teams that are hoarding cap space in 2021, they start to rethink that strategy, right? And then Chris Paul with that $40 million player option or 44 or whatever it is, that player option for 21-22 is far less of a burden for a lot of teams if it's not preventing them from getting Giannis anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So I think him playing well has definitely shifted the value proposition in Oklahoma City's favor, and that if they do trade him, they'll get a lot for him or they'll get more for him than before. But I think how robust that market would be whenever we do get to the offseason will depend on what happens with Giannis and whether teams need that 2021 cap space or not.
Yeah, look, he's clearly got to be the first domino to fall. That makes total sense for sure. Tim Bontemps joining us here, ESPN NBA insider reporter, joining us on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. As we kind of look back at the way the season unfolded, what did you make of the Lakers? Because I know you weren't as high on them going in. Was there a point where you kind of turned and said, oh, yeah, this is different than even I had anticipated?
Well, look, I mean, I you know, Laker fans have been coming at me like crazy because I made an offhanded comment on Windhorse's pod before the season that the Lakers wouldn't win 50 games and people went berserk because I thought they'd win like 48.
Right.
But the truth is that, I mean, they just dramatically exceeded expectations on every level, I think, for everybody, right? Like, even, like, I did a survey last summer of people around the league. Nobody picked the Lakers to make the finals, right? Like, people thought that they had AD and LeBron, who were great, and then they had a lot of question marks. And you go down the roster, virtually every guy outplayed the expectation for him, right? Mm-hmm. Dwight Howard, KCP was better than expected. Avery Bradley was better than expected. Alex Caruso played really well. Like, I'm just trying to think of guys off the top of my head. I haven't thought about the Lakers in a while. But you go down the list, Frank Vogel did a great job.
Yeah.
He had them playing way better defense, especially, than I think anybody thought that they could realistically play. I mean, they were in the top five for a bunch of the year. They might still be in defensive rating, which I never thought they'd be able to do. And the biggest thing is that both LeBron and AD were healthy and awesome, right? Like, LeBron has the first big injury of his career last year. You had to wonder, was he going to be able to play virtually every game? He has been. Anthony Davis has had a history of nagging injuries. Was that going to impact him? He did leave some games, but he was able to virtually play the whole season. And when your defense is really good and you have two of the best, whatever, five, six, seven, eight players in the league playing at a high level every night, you're going to be really good. And, you know, we'll see. Hopefully we get a chance to see them in the playoffs and see how that translates. And if they're able to make the kind of run that obviously everybody in Southern California hopes for, but they just really impressed me from start to finish with the way they attacked the season. I thought it was just a really impressive job by them all the way around.
I think that early on, Frank Vogel getting buy-in from LeBron on the defensive end was big, right? Like, to me, that was like, yep. I was stunned because he hasn't played defense that early in the season since like 2013. So it was just like, whoa, like that's where I felt like, oh, this could be a little different.
I agree completely. I think LeBron, you know, Brian, you know, Windhorse, I mentioned before, has written about LeBron's like level of buy-in this year. And I think you're right. Like, the thing that really stood out to me from the beginning of the year was how locked in LeBron was, especially on defense. Because like you said, part of the reason nobody thought their defense could be as good as it's been is because LeBron hasn't been that level defensive player since, like you said, maybe the last MVP season with the Heat, right? Which is, what, 2013 or 2012? So for him to take that much of a commitment on defense and really take that step forward, I think really set the tone for the rest of the roster. And you know, they got off to that great start, and you could tell right from the beginning he was locked in, and then it was basically just a matter of, all right, if him and Anthony Davis are healthy, then these role players continue to play well, they're going to rack up a ton of wins, and that's exactly what they did.
When you look at the coaching landscape, and look, we've seen a few coaches not there, right? Kenny Atkinson,
yep.
David Fizdale. How many openings do you envision this offseason?
That's a great question, George, and I think this gap in the schedule is going to really potentially play a role in that, right? Like, it, you know, if these owners, with the stock market going way down and everything else, like if they lose a bunch of money, are they going to want to pay coaches to not coach, right? I don't know. Are teams going to want to go through searches right now? I don't know. Like, I don't know how that stuff is going to play out. I think it's going to be really interesting to monitor. But if you look around the league, you know, obviously you mentioned the two New York teams. I mean, we have to see what happens in San Antonio with Greg Popovich. That's kind of a yearly thing. We have to see what happens in Philadelphia. Like, what is the situation there? Do they decide to make changes? Does this end up just basically being like a a false start of a season and they just kind of run it back again next year and try it again? What happens with Mike D'Antoni in Houston? What happens in Chicago? Do they clean house there? Does Atlanta decide to make a change, especially now that Atkinson is available? Does New Orleans decide to make changes? That was probably, 10 teams?
Yeah.
Like, you could have a lot of teams change coaches, and you could also end up with, I think realistically, the way this is broken out, maybe 3 or 4 teams change coaches. So I think a lot of this is just going to depend on what happens here over the next, few weeks and months, and if the season starts again, and what these teams, what the situation is for these teams. Because I think right now everybody's just in such a weird holding pattern that I'm not sure anybody's quite sure how this is going to proceed from here.
Yeah, that's a great point. But one last thing on the coaches or the potential availabilities. Yeah. Like, I look at the ones to me that would be the most coveted would be the Pelicans if it was open. I think the Nets, obviously, just from being able to coach Durant. I think Philly would be very much coveted. And I still think the Rockets could be very much coveted if Mike is not back. Like, those are the four that I think that are would be the ones that the veteran coaches, the Tom Thibodeaux, right? Like, those guys are going to try to aim for. Though I could see a guy like Tibbs actually ending up with the Knicks too, just based on some history there potentially.
Well, Tibbs has got a really long relationship with Leon Rose. So, I mean, there's a reason why he was linked to the Knicks basically immediately, So that's certainly going to be a situation to watch. But look, I mean, George, you just pointed it out, right? What is the NBA? We were just talking about the Lakers. The NBA is a talent league, right? The Lakers from 3 to 15 are not a super impressive team, but they have LeBron and they have Anthony Davis. So they're on pace to win 60 games. They have a chance to win the title. Right? Like, if you have that premium top-end talent, you can win. And that's what coaches want, right? You listen to those teams. Pelicans have Zion, Brandon Ingram, and all those young guys, right? That's a young, up-and-coming team that should be good for a while. The Nets have Kyrie and KD. The Sixers have Embiid and Simmons. The Rockets have Harden and Westbrook. If you're a coach, especially a coach who's been around the league and wants a chance to win, those are teams where you have that high-end talent that gives you a shot to win at the highest level. And there's no question that if we do get into a normal, quote-unquote normal offseason at some point, and there is movement among these jobs, those are the jobs that, all the coaches with any kind of agency are going to be looking at saying, if I can get my hands on those players, I can win. And that's what all those guys are trying to do, obviously.
Who are the front runners for the Nets job? Do you have an idea?
I mean, it's very hard to know exactly because, this kind of goes back to when Masai Ujiri hired Nick Nurse to coach the Raptors. Like, Sean, this isn't a coach that, like, Sean Marks has been there for a few years. He obviously hired Kenny to begin with, but you're not quite sure what the path forward is here, right? Like, is Sean going out and trying to get a guy who he has connections with, from the Spurs tree or somebody that he played with? Is it a situation where you're trying to go get, whether it is Tibbs or some other guy who has a connection with those players, like Ty Lue has come up as a name there, right? It's hard to know exactly what they're looking for, but I mean, I think there's a reason why guys like Tibbs and Ty have been named with that job, because I think you would expect they are going to go out and try to get a big name coach who has relationships with KD and Kyrie and potentially DeAndre and those other guys to try to come in there and run that show, right? So whether it is one of those guys or somebody similar, I think for the reasons we were just talking about, I would expect all the highest pedigree coaches out there to be circling that job and doing their best to try to get it, because if Durant can come back anywhere close to where he was before, again, we're back to talking about a situation where you have two of the elite players in the league and you've got a chance to win a title there.
Tim Bontemps with us here, ESPN NBA Insider Reporter. All right, last thing for you here. Let's talk about these timelines potentially. What do we know as far as when the league and the owners are going to get back on the horn here?
I mean, I'm not exactly sure of when the next conference call is going to be, but I mean, I think you know, look, it seems to be, from the way everything is proceeding now, that, you know, we're going to be in a holding pattern for at least a couple of months in terms of, you know, where the league is going to be able to go from getting people back on the court. And I think, you know, as Adrian Wojnarowski's reported, you know, numerous times, it seems like, you know, mid to late June is probably the realistic earliest point to get everything back up and running. Because at this point, with all the facilities being shut down and everybody essentially being sent home, just to get back on the court is probably going to take 2 to 3 weeks, because you have to factor in, you have to get everybody back to the same place. A lot of these guys have left their team markets, right? And then you also have to factor in, it's probably going to take a couple weeks to get everybody back up to speed from a conditioning standpoint, because for as much work as these guys are doing at home, it's not the same as being in the gym every day mm-hmm. or in the middle of a regular season, right? And they don't want to put these guys in situations where they come back and immediately get hurt. So, you know, I think if you're trying to be optimistic about it, you say, all right, maybe the NBA can get everybody sequestered somewhere in early to mid June, get a couple weeks of work in, and then start playing at that point. But I mean, it's just, everything is so fluid right now, and we're really just in completely uncharted territory in terms of trying to figure out where this is going, that, you know, I think we're just going to have to wait and see how it shakes out. But I certainly hope that at some point here in the relatively near future, we can get some basketball going again and give us all some other stuff to think about besides what's currently going on every day.
Yeah, no, for sure, brother. I agree with you. I mean, look, I'd like to see them, if and when we get back to that point, maybe 5 games, right? Like in the regular season, get you ramped up, finish out the season in some way, shape, or form, and then get right to the playoffs. I'd even do a condensed first round, whether that's best 3 of 5 in the first round. I mean, I think, first of all, that was the last time you had real excitement in the first round. And I get why they go longer, because it's all money, right? Like, I get that. But it would be fun.
Best of 7 is because they can't go best of 9.
Right, exactly. But it would be fun. A 3 of 5 could make things at least interesting early on.
Listen, here's what I will say. I think that the NBA will do everything in its power to have the season come back at some point, right? I think we both know that for all kinds of reasons. And I think, you know, as Adam Silver said to Rachel last week, right, I think it's also very clear that they're going to be willing to try a lot of different stuff when they come back. Like, I think that I would say that there's all kinds of stuff they'll consider, whether it is condensing rounds in the playoffs, whether it's play-in tournaments, whether it's, you know, I don't know what they'll try, but I suspect that, you know, they have a lot of time like we do, right, to sit and think about how to do this and how to make it work. And I think they're going to do everything they can to try to get this back in some form. And look, it might end up being a situation, you know, they could all be in a practice facility somewhere playing. It could be a different TV presentation than we've ever seen before. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's potentially on the table for them to explore, to try to figure out. And I am confident that at some point this summer, we will see basketball again and we will see the season finished out. But trying to figure out exactly what it looks like and how it goes, like you said, whether they do condensed stuff or they change things completely or whatever, you know, I think it's going to take a long time before we see exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a while. And yeah, I'd be all in favor of that. I'd be all in favor of a George Sedano sideline hit from the UCLA Health Center in El Segundo. It's actually closer to my house. So, you know, and in LA, that matters. So I would be okay with that.
As long as there's basketball, I don't care if it's in, I don't care if it's on the moon. it would just be nice to see, it would be nice to see basketball games again. So hopefully you are on the sideline somewhere and we can get back to this at some time in short order.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you so much for doing this. I always appreciate it. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Anytime, George. Look forward to it, man. Take care.
All right, brother. Take care. There he is, Tim Bontemps, friend of the program with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. All right, a lot to digest there. So we'll talk about some of that. If you want to hop aboard, feel free. 877-710-ESPN. There was a lot of things there with Tim that we discussed, that you guys may want to chat about. Again, open phone lines for you, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776, or you can tweet me at Sedano on Twitter as well. I do want to shout out some local businesses that sent me stuff over the weekend. I'll do that as well in the next segment. And we've got some Rams news to get to, some more Rams news. So stick around for that. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both of them. Learn more at progressive.com or calling them at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We combined the breaks there just so we can have like an actual segment here. Just to make sure everyone knows. And again, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, like Tim Bontemps and Gilbert Arenas, who joined us earlier. And if you missed those interviews today of Tim Bontemps and Gilbert Arenas, you can check out our entire interview on demand in the ESPN app, the Sedano Show in the ESPN app, or Apple Podcasts, brought to you by Capital One. Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1%, 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? All right. So, Bergman, what was your biggest takeaway from Bontemps, from the conversation? Whether it was the Lakers stuff, whether it was the MVP stuff, whether it was the league stuff?
I think it was a lot of the league stuff, and that just that he just doesn't know when anything's going to come back, and it would be nice to have basketball again. But the Lakers stuff was a little nice too, because you're seeing that these national writers are all starting to see that what Frank Vogel can do for this team when it comes to the defense, how they're actually, how everyone's playing up to their ability. I think a lot of that has to do with LeBron. So it was nice to hear people coming out and saying exactly what I've been seeing and you've been seeing all year long with how great of a job Frank Vogel has done.
Yeah, Frank's been great. He has been fantastic. I have been very much an advocate of Frank since he arrived, and we chatted at Summer League, and I kind of got a vision for what he wanted to do. And I've been all in basically since then, after seeing him in Vegas. So I'm happy for him. I'm very happy for him. He's just a good dude. So I'm glad that it's working out.
Yeah, it's not normally the big name guys. I mean, whenever so often it's, you're going after, you know, it has to be the name Phil Jackson, or it has to be the name like Mike D'Antoni, the biggest name that you can possibly find. Pop, why won't Pop come and coach the Lakers or whatever it happens to be? It's the guys that just teach defense that really make a difference to a lot of these teams, and it's even in LA it worked out perfectly. So often you see a guy come in and they teach you an offensive system and they don't do anything on the defensive end. And Frank Vogel did the exact opposite and made them be strong defensively. And they're number one in the West because of it.
Yeah, they've been fantastic. He got the buy-in from LeBron that he needed and it worked. It is interesting because Windhorst has said this too to us, which is, you know, and Tim mentioned this, that the league is steadfast on doing whatever it takes to finish this season. Like they are like, even when Rachel asked Adam Silver on television, like, have you thought about the possibility of maybe not having a season? He said, nope, not there yet. Not happening. Not thinking that way. And what Windhorst has said that they'll play through September if they have to.
So what do you think has to happen?
So here's what I think has to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
I think clearly we need to see that here in this country, that the curve gets flattened. That's going to take 6 to 8 more weeks easily, maybe longer, maybe more like 10 to 12. And once that happens, if indeed that happens, then I think the leagues can reassess where their players are and how healthy they are and make sure that they are okay from a health perspective. And at that point, I think this is all a guess. This is not sourced. This is just me spouting off at the mouth like a gas bag. I believe at that point, they would probably look to do what Tim said, which is maybe play games in practice facilities. Joking about the UCLA Health Center in El Segundo. You know what I mean? Like, and not in these cavernous arenas, because it would look bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not going to play with fans, you might as well do them in small, intimate facilities for television.
Yeah, so as long as there's no fans in there to be able to – I mean, it's just going to be coaches and, you know,
coaches, like NBA people, TV people. End of story. And by the way, there
don't forget the radio people, George. The radio people need to be there too.
Well, the broadcast teams.
Yes.
But
yes,
there is a real possibility that maybe even the broadcast teams, both on TV and radio, would be calling it off a monitor.
Yeah. It's happened before. I mean, they do it for the Olympics a lot. So,
and they do it in soccer all the time.
Yep. People do it all the time. Actually, Ireland has done it before for Laker games in the past. I think he did it for China.
Right, for the games in Asia. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's all things that have to happen. But I don't know. I mean, being there makes a little bit of a difference for them.
Sure. But it doesn't matter, man. Like, I think that if we can get to a point where that happens, where the curve gets flattened and sports can come back even without fans, that is a huge thing, okay, just for the psyche. Like, Tim was texting me after this interview, and we were going back and forth, and, like, he was just like, I really needed that just for my own sake, right?
Right.
Like, to talk just basketball, you know what I'm saying, for a few minutes, and not talk about the calamity that we're dealing with. And that's the whole point. So if we can do that for someone like him, you know, like, who is embedded in all this stuff and is still working and dealing with stories and writing stories, and he feels that way, I'm hopeful that we can do that for people who aren't necessarily doing that, right? Or don't have as much to do while they're home, or they happen to be listening on the app or listening in their car if, you know, they're going to the grocery store or whatever it is that we're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are here to try to provide an escape for you. Like, that is the goal. And speaking of which, we're also trying to help the community. We're teaming up with ABC7 and the Rams to host a virtual telethon tomorrow from 4 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. That's 4 a.m. You heard that right, to 6:30 p.m. So that's what, 14 and a half hours. The event will benefit the United Way of Greater Los Angeles' Pandemic Relief Fund and the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank to assist Southern California's response in the efforts during this unprecedented global health crisis. So your donation makes a big difference, guys, for families during these unimaginable times. So we got to provide relief for low-income individuals, students, families at risk, and really any amount helps, all of it. It doesn't matter how much it is. Like, nothing is too little, trust me. And the ways you can donate to the virtual telethon beginning tomorrow is by calling these numbers, 888-504-9491. That's 888-504-9491. Or you can call 213-263-0211. That's 213-263-0211. On the website, you can go to unitedforla.org/pandemicrelief. That's unitedforla.org/pandemicrelief. Or text UnitedForLA to 844-701-5181. That's text UnitedForLA to 844-701-5181. So,
you see what the Rams are doing on their Twitter page right now?
I did. They've gone all blank, right, on their logo.
Yeah, it's all white. There's no logo. There's no, you know, in the circle where it has your picture, that's not there. Their cover photo is all white. There's nothing there because at 12 o'clock, they are going to be unveiling their new logo in color. So what do you think it's going to be?
God, I hope it's as traditional as it can be. I've said this before. Remember a couple weeks ago when that allegedly fake one came out? I said
those were bad.
Yeah, I just said, look, if you notice, when teams wear their throwbacks, fans go nuts in a good way. And it kind of makes me believe, like, why are you trying to outthink the room? Now, look, I get it from a financial perspective. And if it's cool, it works. The Seattle Seahawks rebranded, and it was awesome. Like, their look is great. And, you know, but not every team is always great. So I'm hopeful that the Rams is great. You know, the Bucks, it was awesome. Like, I people now like the creamsicle uniforms, but people used to make fun of those all the time. But people used to make fun of them big time. And their uniforms are pretty badass. The pewter and the, you know, red or whatever that Keyshawn wore and that Brady and those guys will wear now. But I do worry about that stuff, is that, you know, like, sometimes this stuff can go sideways. So, but hopefully it doesn't for the Rams.
I mean, orange, or was it the yellow and blue? That's perfect, going that old school yellow and blue. I mean, I would even accept this blue and white that they've been doing. So if it's just straight blue and white, I can handle that too. It's just simple. It's easy. It looks good. I mean, but they're changing the logo too, so it's gonna be interesting. And Demoff, have you seen what Kevin Demoff has been doing?
We're all counting on you, Demoff.
Right, but he's been going out. He's been interacting with the fans and like trying to make like, what's happening? He's making it all crazy. It's fun. He's been doing a good job with that.
No, that's cool. Look, I think they do a great job. You know, in general, like I like them as an organization. You know, look, I don't always agree 100% with what any organization does on things. Like, you know, I mean, there's always going to be things I'm like, I probably would have done that differently, but I don't get paid to make those decisions. And those people do. And that's a lot tougher than being a gas bag here on the radio. I understand that. But I think the fact I have seen what Demoff is doing, and I think it's fun. I think it's fun. And the fact that the president of the organization is doing that is cool. It's kind of like my guy, Tom Penn at LAFC. You know, they did a really good job at researching before they launched, and they met with fans and they did all this stuff about what they need to do and how they need to go about it and create the experience that they create. So I like that. I do. I like that Demoff is involved on that level, even if it, you know, clearly he's involved on every level, but even as much as being kind of fun and goofy and silly with the fans on social media, I think that's fun. I think that's cool. So good for him and good for them.
Yeah, that's the whole point of social media, really. Is like if you're a sports team or a sports, you know, COO or whatever you happen to be, like having fun with the fans is just crazy important. You know who has the best Twitter page that I've seen personally?
Who's that?
The LA Kings have a fantastic.
They're fantastic.
Fantastic.
And their off season, it was maybe like two off seasons ago. They did a marketing campaign where they had the guys go to different parts of town. In their full uniform, like on the beach, you know, in Manhattan Beach, like where the volleyball nets are. Like it was
nice.
Yeah, it was just hilarious. Like it was so good and so fun. You're right. They do a fantastic job.
Yeah. So if you can do that, there's a lot of baseball teams do that too, where they'll just kind of go back and forth with other baseball teams. And it just makes it more fun. It gets you more engaged. It gets the fans more engaged. I love when they do that type of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I do. And look, that's the way you should engage with your fans. A couple of things, speaking of which, we've got some newsy stuff to get to kind of here in this last segment, including a big day here on ESPN 710. I'll tell you what that's all about in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Don't forget Mason in Ireland at 3 o'clock. If you missed any of our interviews today with Gilbert Arenas, who was fantastic telling Kobe, LeBron, and Jordan stories, or Tim Bontemps, who covers the NBA for us at ESPN, and we went really 20 minutes just going across the board about the MVP discussion. He has a story about the MVP debate. He polled 70 different media members about the MVP race in the NBA, and we talked about the potential of the NBA coming back. It was all great stuff there, too. Check out the entire interview on demand section on the ESPN app for the Sedano Show podcast, or on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast, Spotify as well. Brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? Today is an important day here at ESPN 710, Bergman. Do you know what day it is?
Today is March 23rd.
It is Steve Mason's birthday today.
Hey, Mace. Happy birthday, Mace.
Happy birthday, Steve Mason, the most important person at the radio station. The alliance has been built. I feel like the alliance is strong. It got off to a rocky start, but I think that's why we are stronger. Much like we're all going to get through this pandemic together, Mason and I got through our own version of a rocky start together, and we weren't self-quarantined, though I guess we were. We were quarantined together for 30 minutes every day when we used to do purgatory. So I feel like that made us stronger and better friends after the fact. So happy birthday to Mace. We love you, buddy. You really are the best. So congratulations to you. Have fun. Try to have fun during the quarantine on your birthday.
If anybody likes to hear that they're the most important person at the station, it's Steve Mason.
Oh, there's no question about it. But he is. He's the guy.
He is. He's the glue. You called him that the other day. He's the glue.
He's the glue. It was fun. I did listen to them. I went out, had to run to get something at the grocery store real quick. And I was listening to him and John doing talking about betting on Australian rules football.
Oh, jeez.
And then,
which is great, by the way.
And then that night, I came across, I think it was on like Fox Sports 1. It was the match they were talking about was on live.
Oh, that's crazy. Have you ever watched Australian rules football before?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched it before. I don't know how the rules work, though.
Oh, no, no idea. But yeah. It's so fun to watch, and I don't understand how more people are not getting killed playing that game, because there's no pads.
Right.
They're just running around, knocking each other up, like jumping on people's backs. It's nuts, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is fun. So, and I don't get – sometimes they kick the ball. Sometimes they throw the ball. I don't understand when and why they do which, like, and you know, I don't get any of that, but it's fun to watch.
You can punt pass? You can actually kick the ball as a pass?
Yeah, it's very weird. But I was watching it, and I fell asleep, and then halftime came, the first half. It was Brisbane and somebody, I don't know, but I know they were talking about it, and John's team, I think, won. The team John bet on won, I think. I'm almost positive.
I don't know. Mythical Money, the thing that they do is just, it's fun, man. You did it a little bit last year.
Call Ireland real quick. I want to ask him if his team won. Just call him real quick. Do you have a number for him? Well, Laura has, you have to give Laura the number.
Yeah, I'll give him the number.
Yeah, just text her the number real quick. I want to ask him if his team won.
He's sitting at home. I know he is, because I was on a group text with him, and he's just hanging out with Reagan the dog and his wife, Lisa, and watching movies. We were all part of that big – were you part of that Instagram D-Nice party?
Oh, yeah. I saw it. Yeah. Two nights ago, I was watching D-Nice. D-Nice had over 100,000 people every night the last couple nights.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, I've never been to a party where, you know, a lot of these famous people are being there, but, you know, Michelle Obama, Justin Timberlake. I mean, there was politicians in there. I think Joe Biden went in there.
Well, they didn't actually go. Just so people understand, they popped into the to say what's up
in live
on his Instagram live. Yes, on like they sent a message. Yes,
right. But that's still pretty cool. Like, you kind of feel like you're a little bit kind of a part of it. But it also did so much. It made a big difference for me, because the TV wasn't on. We weren't doing anything. We just had music playing in the background, and it was good music. So you just felt like you were kind of getting away from everything. So it was nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was cool. Again, anything right now that's an escape is the way to go. Like, I think that to me is the move here. Like, anything we can do for you guys, we're going to do our best. You know what I mean? Like, to provide that for you. I do have a couple of people I wanted to shout out. Hold on. I have it here. God, I don't want to lose it. I had some people that, here it is. All right. So here's a guy who sent me a message over the weekend. God, he's got a pizza place. I'm trying to find it. I'm sorry. Where is it? All right.
By Al. I have no idea. I'm just
Was a bunch of them here that sent me messages. I got to find them. Just give me a sec. Here's one. Oh, here it is. This guy in Beverly Hills. His name is Jason. West Hollywood in Beverly Hills area, called Bao Dim Sum. And their Instagram is Bao Dim Sum House. BAODIMSUM House. And they serve Chinese dim sum all day. So they're open, they're delivering, they're doing all that stuff. So Jason from Bao Dim Sum House in West Hollywood, Beverly Hills area, if you're there. There was another guy from a pizza place that I want to get to here.
While you're looking that up, dim sum is delicious.
Oh, it's so good.
There's one downtown that I used to go to when I was a kid, and it was just – you sit there and they bring around different types of dim sum, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
God, I missed that.
And the pizza place is Angelina's Famous Pizza. There's that one, too. I'm trying to see where it is. It's in Norwalk. So there you go. So it's in Norwalk, Angelina's Famous Pizza. And their owner, Peter, sent me a message. So I wanted to shout out those two local businesses. They're open. They're obviously delivering. So there you go. Also, go ahead, Bergman. You wanted to say something.
No, I was looking at Angelina Famous Pizza because it sounded really good.
Yeah.
And I want pizza now.
There you have it. So those places are open. We want to continue shouting out local businesses. If you've got one, hit me up on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. Is John there?
No, I think he went to voicemail.
Oh, okay. Because I wanted to find out if he actually won his bet or not on Australian rules football. So
now, do you find yourself watching all of these famous games that are being played and really sticking to sports, even though there's not like live games happening?
Say that again.
Do you are you watch when you're sitting around over the weekend? I know you're doing a lot of yard work, but if you're sitting around, and you're watching TV. Yeah. Are you putting on these like old March Madness
yes.
games?
Or, so I was watching. Are? I was telling the guys during Crosstalk in the, on the morning show that I found myself watching a lot of like old games. Yes, from like the 90s. And I want what I want to watch, and I think we should do it as a group. I should promote this tomorrow. I want to talk with the audience about this. I want to rewatch some of the old Laker playoff games. Because I know on the station, we had the 2010 NBA Finals over the weekend. Adam Bronstein, Bronny did a fantastic job putting that stuff together. And it was, I was in the car. I ran to the grocery store to get something real quick for the kids. And I was in the car and I caught game four. I believe it was a game four from Boston. And it was Spiro and Michael on the call. And it was just cool to listen to. I feel like that kind of stuff is fun. Like I've gone down a YouTube rabbit hole. I want to shout out The Ringer and JJ Redick's podcast because I wasn't a regular listener, but I found his YouTube and I was watching a lot of the interviews that he's been, that he's done over the last several months. Yeah, I've been finding a lot of content on YouTube because, you know, I think most people consume YouTube on their tablets and phones, but I was just beaming it up to the TV, like on my smart TV and just watching it there. Yeah, so I found myself in a YouTube rabbit hole to answer your question, yes.
Yeah, because the AirPlay system is great from your iPhone to be able to put it into over onto your TV. Otherwise, you know, like looking at your phone is just not a, is not the same thing. But yeah, if I wasn't listening to the radio, listening to the ESPN app to listen to Boston and the Lakers, I was trying to stay away from sports, which was interesting because I feel like my whole life is based around sports, where I'm listening to the radio all day long, listening to the morning show, then to doing our show, and then listening to Mason Ireland and Will Kane, and then, you know, going home and watching a Laker game or a Dodger game or spring training. This weekend felt like, all right, I can just kind of be with my family, play games.
Yeah, yeah, I've been doing a lot of that stuff,
watch
too.
Watch movies. Yeah. Like, it just was a nice reprieve.
Yeah, for sure. I get it. Ireland, I was watching the Brisbane Australian rules football game the other night because right. You guys were talking about it. Did you win your bet? Because I fell asleep. I didn't see the ending.
George, this is how bad it is. I don't even remember who I bet on. I want to say I bet on a team from Melbourne because a caller called in. But you know what happened? I think Mason bet on a game and I bet on a game. And then they canceled the whole season. We bet on like the last. Have you heard that?
Yeah, they did. The last match was on Friday, I think.
Yeah, so if there's a possibility Mason got his match in and I didn't. But I can't even remember who I bet on. I bet on it to suggest a listener called us from Australia.
From Australia. I was listening, yeah.
He listens to Mason and Ireland in Australia, and I was touched by that. So as a show of support for him, I bet on his team. I know I was I got what do you even call it in Australian rules football? Do you call it points? I got 21 points. My team was so bad they were 5-17 last year.
Yeah.
I have no idea if they won or if they lost. I don't feel good about it.
Well, I'm pretty sure the match I saw was your team, and they were winning at halftime, and then I fell asleep because it was like, you know, midnight or whatever it was on Friday night.
And now, George, they took that away from us. So
I know.
Gambling degenerates are screwed. We have nothing to bet even mythical money on.
Well, you can bet on, and I got to go here because we have a hard out in like 35 yeah. seconds, but you can bet yeah. on the, do you see what NASCAR did with they basically recreated races, like online races.
I'm in. I'll bet on somebody. I just got to find out who's racing. I'm going to look right now.
All right. Sounds good. Hope you're healthy and safe, brother. We'll talk soon.
You too. Bye.
See ya. Yeah, I didn't get to that story about how NASCAR did like e-races. Crazy. All right, great job, Bergman. Great job, Laura. Thanks to you guys for listening. Subscribe to the podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.